WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. In the mid-60s, the Redbird and Blue Cat record labels were a playground for songwriters from New York's Brill Building, people like Ellie Greenwich and Jeff Barry. The labels, which were financed by the songwriters and producers Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, kept rolling out hits. Rock and roll historian Ed Ward has a survey of some of them.
By 1964, Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller were sort of like the grand old men of the New York record business. They'd been writing hits together since the early 50s, just out of high school. And most recently, they'd helped a young kid named Phil Spector get on his feet. Looking around for something to do next, they decided to start a record label, and for some reason, they called it Redbird. Its trademark was a picture of a red bird strumming a guitar. For their first release, they took the Dixie Cups, three girls from New Orleans a band leader had recommended to them, gave them a song written by Phil Spector, Jeff Barry, and Ellie Greenwich, and watched it shoot straight to number one.
Go into the chapel and we're gonna get married. Go into the chapel and we're gonna get married. Gee, I really love you and we're gonna get married. Go into the chapel of love.
Well, that was easy. So easy, in fact, that Lieber and Stoller began losing interest in Redbird almost immediately. Still, they realized that somebody had to oversee the label's day-to-day operations, and they found another veteran, George Goldner, who'd put out some of the finest New York doo-wops in the mid-50s. Goldner knew the same songwriters Lieber and Stoller did, including a newcomer named George Morton, known to everybody as Shadow because he was so unassuming. Couldn't sing at all, but on a demo like Dressed in Black, which we just heard, it was obvious he had great pop sense. So Goldner found him a group of girls to work with.
He said that we would prove, he found somebody new. Let me think, what can I do?
Wow, another top 10 hit. That was Redbird's 8th record. Need another one? Jeff Barry was ready with five girls from Jersey City who called themselves the Jelly Beans. Like everything Redbird did was hitting the charts. Could George Goldner sell anything? Some friends of Phil Spector's got together and decided to find out. This didn't do quite as well, but it came out in February, for heaven's sakes.
My folks moved to New York from California.
Redbird was doing so well that early in 1965, they introduced another label, Blue Cat, which would concentrate on more serious soul music. Guess what? Blue Cat's second release was a hit, too. Ad-libs had been recording for various people for 3 years, and The Boy from New York City was their first and only hit. But the label's output wasn't just novelty and pop fluff. Blue Cat had some success with blues singer Alvin Robinson, who made a record that had a profound influence on Jimi Hendrix.
People see me, but they just don't know what's in my heart and why I love you so. I love you, baby, like a minor love go. So come on, baby, let the good time roll.
They even put a New Orleans Mardi Gras Indian chant onto the charts.
My grandma and your grandma are sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. Talking about Minna, 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 Aiko, Aiko, Ande, Giacomo Fino, Anale, Giacomo Finale.
In the 2 years before Lieber and Stoller sold Redbird and Blue Cat to George Goldner, the label scored 2 number 1 hits, 6 top 10 ones, and 24 others that made it on the pop charts. I've only been able to scratch the surface of these labels' output here. The highlights of an amazing success story.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll, and he writes for the Austin Chronicle. This is Fresh Air.